Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and Happy New Year. Welcome to Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio. It's 2023 and it's time to dust off that crystal ball and look forward to the year ahead in technology. And to help us with this task, we have a panel of esteemed accessible technology experts, and we'll be hearing from them in just a moment. Don't forget, of course, Tech Talk, it's your program, and we're really keen to hear about your experiences from a blindness and partially sighted perspective. Let us know how it's going, what's working well, what's not working well. Share your tips, your questions, your hints, whatever you got. We'd love to hear from you, whether that's an email or a voice note. You can contact techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Welcome in to our co-hosts, as ever. Happy New Year to Tasneem Arshad and Callum Stoneman. Hello to you both.
Hello and Happy New Year to you and everybody else.
Hello, Happy New Year. I can't believe it's 2023.
Indeed it is. And let's, without any further ado, go to our panel, who are going to hopefully sort of help us do a little bit of a sense check of where we are in terms of technology, accessibility, and also learn a bit about them. And we kind of cooked up this idea a few weeks ago that we thought it'd be great to have a panel of technology experts. And so the one person who I thought would be tremendous in putting this together is RNIB's Head of Inclusive Design, Mr. Robin Spinks. Hello, Robin. Welcome back to Tech Talk.
Hello, folks, and Happy New Year.
It's brilliant to have you with us, Robin. Well, you have put this panel together, so why don't you introduce yourselves or have your panel introduced, and then we'll get into it.
Sounds great. So I'll just pick up on that. I'm Robin Spinks. I'm Head of Inclusive Design at RNIB. I am a lifelong AT user and tech fan, and I love all the platforms. I'm platform agnostic, so I use them all. And I think the next best thing is probably just around the corner. And delighted to be joined by a couple of other fantastic contributors today. Just really happy to have them. Mary Fernandez.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me. My name is Mary Fernandez, and I am currently the lead disability inclusion consultant at Cisco Systems. And I was delighted to have met Robin at a conference here in the U.S. So I'm joining you from across the pond and super excited for this conversation.
And joining us also is a good friend whose opinion I always want whenever I've got a tech dilemma or question, or I want someone else's perspective. I think this person would be top of my list. It's a real pleasure to have you with us, Leonie Watson.
Thank you, Robin. Hello, everyone. And I hope 2023 is already shaping up to be a good one for you all. I'm Leonie Watson. I'm founder and director of Tetralogical, a small accessibility consulting company. And like Robin, someone who's absolutely fascinated with all kinds of technology, both what's coming, what's here, and in some cases, looking back to what we've had for a long time, but we're maybe looking at using in new ways.
And just in case it's not clear already, all our panel have lived experience of sight loss, or at least that's how some organisations describe it. How would you identify yourselves, Robin?
Oh, I always describe myself as a top letter guy. I can see the top letter on the eye test chart. I'm told there are other letters there. I can't see them, but, you know, I'm a glass half full guy as well. So, yeah, low vision all round.
Mary?
I am a no letter person. I'm blind. I just identify as blind. I can't see anything.
Me and you both, Mary. How about you, Leonie?
Yeah, I'm with you both on that one. I can't even see the wall, never mind the chart that the letters might be on. I'm completely blind. I have no vision. And if someone asks, I'd say I'm blind.
Excellent. Right. Okay. I'd like to start by just talking about work a little bit. I know we're just kind of coming back from the holidays. Just give us a sense of your current work areas. What are some of the projects that you're currently engaged with, just to give everyone a bit of a flavour of what you do? Let's start with Mary.
Absolutely. So at Cisco, we're currently working really hard to become good at accessibility and become good at making sure that we're including everyone, including our disabled folks. And so one of the areas of work that I'm dedicated to is really trying to figure out how do we create an accessibility strategy for our whole company. We just currently are launching the Valuable 500 state commitment statement for our company. And you'll see there that we're trying to figure out the best ways to be more inclusive towards people with disabilities as we try to live into our mission of powering an inclusive future for all. So I'm really figuring out that strategy, figuring out where all the pieces are going to fit in as far as accessibility and just moving that work forward.
Right, so you're working on policy. Leone, I sort of think of you as a standards person.
Yes, very much so. I'm still very regularly involved in web standards through the W3C. But also, you know, I have a great team, and one of the things our company does is work on accessibility projects that are a little bit out of the ordinary. So we've had some great fun. I've been working on a project that's all about how we make visualizing data in journalism more accessible to people reading. So, you know, often in an article about some, you know, economics, for example, there's been plenty of that on the news lately. You know, there'll be some kind of image that sort of represents the you know, the economic downturn trends being portrayed. And how do we make that more interactive and accessible to people who can't see the images? I've also been writing a book around, or part of a book around that same topic that's due to be published very soon, and also just working on other interesting areas, emerging technologies or almost emerging. Biometrics is something we've been working on lately. How do we make the experience of using different forms of biometric identification more accessible for people with different disabilities, including those of us who may not have the ability to look at something, you know, camera straight on, or may even indeed not have eyeballs at all to use things like, you know, that form of recognition.
So you're going to solve the problem of those pesky infographs then?
We're working on it. It may take a little bit more time and effort than we've got, but yeah, steps in the right direction, and I think we might have some ideas.
Well, we appreciate that. And Robin, I know you've been on Tech Talk before very briefly. Just remind everyone your main sort of areas of work.
Yeah, sure. So I'm really lucky to work with a very gifted team of specialists in accessibility, working across everything from web and app accessibility to smart homes to chip and pin. You'll know that chip and pin is disappearing, being replaced with pin on glass. That's a big challenge that we're working with the entire industry to try and resolve. But we've also got a whole range of training and consultancy projects on everything from banknotes to showers to smart TVs, and also some innovation projects. So we're working on one which is looking at essentially the next version of what a smart cane would be. So what might the next state-of-the-art mobility aid be for blind and partially sighted people? We're actively working on that now with a really big group of blind and partially sighted people. And if that's of interest to people, we'd love to hear from you. We're also very interested in conversational AI and how that can be used to make society better at large, but also particularly for blind and partially sighted people. So how can we use cutting edge scene detection and AI to make life better in every way? So, you know, that's a very quick and dirty overview of current projects. But yeah, I think the thing is, nothing stands still in this space. It's such a moving feast, and it's a vibrant space to work inside.
In a moment, I'm going to ask you to share a recent discovery or top tech tip that our listeners might find interesting. But before I do that, Tasneem, Callum, do you have any follow-up questions about any of those work areas for our panel?
Not massively. I just think all of it sounds incredible. Particularly of interest for me would be the kind of biometrics and kind of watching the space on that, but also the smart cane stuff as well. So, yeah, all of it sounds absolutely incredible.
Callum?
Yeah, no specific questions for me as such. I just, you know, just again, similar to Tasneem, really. It sounds like, you know, all of you sounds, you know, fascinating work, and it's just a pleasure to have you on and be able to discuss this with you. I mean, who better to discuss this sort of technology with?
Leonie, let's come to you then. Do you have a tip or a recent discovery that our listeners could use to sort of start the year on the right foot, feeling a little bit more empowered?
That is such a hard question to answer. I've been thinking about this ever since you invited me to be on the program. It's not really so much a tip in the sense of something specific I can recommend about using a particular technology, but try and have a bit of fun with technology. I think a lot of people often find it gets really daunting. It can seem really complicated and scary, especially if you're, you know, a screen reader user. Those of us who've been using them for, you know, a long time, we're pretty comfortable and reasonably confident with them. But if you're coming to it for the first time, suddenly seems like you've got this, you know, huge bunch of shortcuts to learn and probably some other things beside. And I remember what that was like from when I lost my sight many years ago now. And so I guess my tip really is take a deep breath, trust that you'll get the hang of it. There's lots of help out there, you know, from organizations like RNIB and many other places. And just try and have some fun with it. And if you can take a little bit of a step in the right direction towards doing the thing that you set out to do, you'll actually find you make a lot of progress pretty quickly, I think.
Make it fun. I know Robin likes to share those Claire Sisk videos with me, which are always a huge amount of fun. Mary, how about you? What would be your most recent sort of discovery or tip that might empower our listeners?
Yeah. So to not answer your question, it's not recent, but I did discover, over the summer, that when you can't copy and paste something with JAWS, when like the application you're on won't let you copy and paste something that you really need, like a number, you can use the JAWS history, spoken history to do that. So you just do JAWS key space and then the letter H, and whatever it said, whatever it read, you can all of a sudden copy and paste. That has been life-changing for me. I don't know about anybody else, but that like has changed my entire life. So that's my tip.
Do you know, Mary, VoiceOver does something similar. If you do a three-finger quadruple tap, it copies the last utterance gets copied to your clipboard, which is brilliant for like card numbers. And oh, you're right, life-changing. Robin, how about you?
Yeah, I can imagine that could be tricky after a couple of glasses of wine having coming out of the festive period, you know, the three-finger quadruple tap. But you get the hang of it, don't you, after a little while. My tip would be Android Reader. This is very new, just recently launched. And what this is doing is primarily making the Android reading experience much better for people with low vision. So you can make Android Reader work on any Android phone. And it'll essentially allow you to choose the color scheme that you like. So if you like blue on black or yellow on black or whatever color combination, you can choose that. You can also choose the spacing. You can choose the font. And then as well as that, you have a play button, so you can have it speaking, but like read aloud, and you can have it running at whatever speed you want to have it. So primarily designed for low vision people to make the reading experience easier, but also just really useful if you're somebody who likes a break from reading and you want to listen. I think as someone with low vision, I'm trying quite regularly now to listen to stuff as well as trying to read it with my sight. And it just gives me a break. And it's in many ways, it's more engaging. So yeah, go and check it out, Android Reader.
Before we look forward to 2023, I thought it might be great to hear a highlight from 2022. And we were recently talking about this on the programme. I chose the air fryer. It seems to have transformed a lot of kitchens, particularly as we're thinking about, you know, the cost of things at the moment. So it'd be good to hear, what was your sort of gadget or your highlight or the innovation or the announcement or the change, the thing that happened that for you 2022 will be remembered for, Mary?
So on a personal level, and these aren't necessarily new, I just got a new one less than a couple of weeks ago. There are these little pictures that will steam and froth the milk for your coffee. And I cannot get over it, how amazing it is that I can just make my own very frothy coffee at home and don't have to go to Starbucks. That's very niche and very personal. But on the... And they're fully accessible. You just press a button and it heats and it froths and it's amazing. And it stops when it's done on its own. But from a like disability accessibility perspective, one of the coolest things that I've seen this year was when Microsoft did the billboard with sign language. And I think it was first launched in the UK. And I think that is so cool to really embracing and you know, saying that people with disabilities are part of everyday life and that count and that we're thinking about you all from a big company. So I really like that.
Oh, well, that's great. It's a shame we weren't talking in 2020 because that was my sort of big lockdown thing. I got into coffee in a big old way. Leonie, how about you? 2022, what's been the highlight?
Two things. One comes with a bit of a sting in the tail, and that was the new feature that Twitter added to let people see and read the text descriptions that people added for images. And it really gave the whole point of text descriptions for those of us who can't see the images huge boost. Of course, then we kind of saw the demise of the accessibility team at Twitter and all the sadness that you know, 2022 ended on for Twitter as an organization. So that one's a little bit of a bittersweet, you know, innovation for me. The other, I think, which is not really an innovation per se, but it was a kind of hallmark moment, was an ex-rugby player who is non-verbal reading the CBeebies bedtime story. For those of you who are not familiar with those, famous people read a bedtime story for young people everywhere. But this is the first time it was done by somebody who is non-verbal, so using an advanced form of text-to-speech to vocalize, you know, their telling of the bedtime story, which I thought was nice use of technology and a real, you know, trailblazing moment in broadcast television.
Yeah, and I think they also had a blind person do a bedtime story this year as well, or last year.
They did, Laura, yeah.
Yeah, indeed. So, Robin.
Yeah, well, that's brilliant. I love the CBeebies one. I just think, get in while kids are small and change their attitude. I've got a couple. So my first one is Guided Frame, which is a new feature that launched on Pixel 7. And I love taking pictures. So this is like a selfie-taking experience, which is guided using TalkBack and haptics and large numbers. Very, very cool. And the other one is actually a piece of hardware from IKEA, no less. It's called a Lanishplier. They love IKEA for all those brilliant Swedish names for their products. But it's basically a filming lamp. And if I could describe it, it has a large weighted base, which is kind of round and quite heavy, kind of shaped like a large polo mint for the Brits that are listening. So it's like a big loop almost. And inside it, you can sit a smaller circular weighted base. And the weighted base that sits inside has a gooseneck on it with a smartphone clamp at the top. And the polo mint shaped weighted base has a gooseneck with a big ring light on the top of it. And it's all highly adjustable. So you can have daylight, you can have cool light, warm light, bronze light. But if you've got any kind of sight problem or not, one of the things we're all having to do is take part in lots of Zoom calls, Teams calls, and sometimes even make little films of ourselves talking about stuff and then upload it. I know I've had to do a few of those recently. This has just been brilliant for that. And it was very inexpensive compared to the competition. So yeah, IKEA have absolutely nailed the filming and or home filming lamp and smartphone holder. And I would heartily recommend people take a look at it if that kind of thing's going to be helpful. So, yeah, there's my two.
I think when you and I say well-lit, Robin, we are literally talking about lighting. When my 13-year-old says well-lit, he means that something's really cool, you know, so they have a different language, don't they? Feel free, Tasneem and Callum, to chime in if you've got any questions about anything raised by our panel.
This is quite refreshing, actually, Robin. I get the feeling you're an Android guy.
Well, you know what? I have recently kind of swung in the opposite direction on smartphone platforms because Ooh. I was a big iOS guy for a long time. I still love iOS. I think it's delivered so much and continues to do so. But yeah, I'm quite platform agnostic now. I'll go with both. But I'm loving the Pixel 7 experience. I just think if you are an iPhone user and you want an alternative, this is as good as it gets. right now.
I was just wondering what you particularly liked about the Pixel, because I've heard equally, that actually Pixels are really good for the Android experience, but I love the phrase the kind of platform agnostic, and I'm gonna poach that from you actually, Robin.
Please do. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just think they're both delivering a lot of stuff at the moment. What I like about it particularly is a really complete package. Great battery life. They've vastly improved the issues that people had with the already very good Pixel 6. My Pixel 6, unfortunately, was stolen from my bag outside a restaurant. So that was the perfect excuse. There's always a silver lining to upgrade to the Pixel 7. So better battery, better modem. Really good camera, great build quality, and also all delivered for like $599 US, $599 UK at a time when we're seeing quite big price increases, particularly on the Apple front. That's not Apple's fault, but it's expensive.
Is he on commission? Anyway, Leone's Twitter alt tags actually put me in mind of NASA, who really embraced the alt tag and gave us some really mesmerizing descriptions of images from the James Webb Telescope in 2022. So more of that, please. Absolutely. Let's talk about behavioral change then. Have you noticed yourself doing anything different? What's your relationship like with technology now compared with a year ago? What are your habits that you've kicked and perhaps new habits that you've adopted? How's your sort of interaction with technology? Perhaps are you doing more or less social media? Leone mentioned Twitter there. Have you moved away from Twitter? Let's start with you, Leone. Have you moved away from Twitter?
I've kept my account, partly because I'm fortunate enough to have a reasonable presence there, and I don't want someone re-registering the same account, after the fact. I also am an optimist, and I hope, that the platform might resurrect itself. But yeah, to all intents and purposes, I've switched over to using a platform called Mastodon, which is somewhat similar, but at the same time, quite different from Twitter in some respects. But it's where a lot of certainly the tech community, the web community, has moved itself to. In the light of what's happened at Twitter. And so there's a very thriving conversational community there, which I'm enjoying a great deal.
Okay, and Mary, what's changed for you?
I actually feel that I have become better about setting boundaries around my technology use, and being more conscientious around, the whole powering down before sleep. Because during the pandemic, in particular, when we were all shut off in our houses, I basically was on my phone 24/7 and was not putting it down, would go to sleep first thing I look at, like most of us. But I'm trying to be a little bit more conscientious around that, using do not disturb quite a bit when I'm working. So in some ways, I'm trying to be a little less technology bound in my personal life. Oh, I did want to add one more thing around things that have changed my life in the last year. I recently bought the new AirPods, and the feature to find the case for it to make sound when you can't find it is absolutely life-changing, because I was that person who never remembered where my AirPods were and where I put them down. And I would leave them in very strange places, like my closet, for no reason. So that's been amazing.
I can imagine, yeah. It is that thing, you put them in your ears and you walk off and leave the case somewhere, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Robin, how about you? Have you noticed any behavioral changes in terms of your relationship with technology over the last 12 months?
I have. And actually, one of the things for me that's really changed is I've gone to using dictation as a default for all my emails. So if you do receive an email from me, any of you, and there's like an absolute clangor of a mistake in it, it's not my fault, it's the dictation. But what I've noticed is it's getting so much better and so much, more accurate and reliable. Particularly, I have to say, on the Google Pixel phone. I'm not on commission, but that's another reason why people should take a look at it. The dictation capability that it's got with a Tensor chip is significantly better than other offerings that are out there.
Let's turn to challenges then. We're hearing a lot about the metaverse. I know, Leonie, you're interested in some of this stuff. What are the biggest challenges when it comes to accessing information and technology for blind and partially sighted people? Let's come to you first, Leonie.
So with the metaverse in particular, actually the biggest challenge we've got is that it really doesn't exist yet. It's an awful lot of hype. Actually, very little in the way of usable and useful or even engaging experiences. Assuming that at some point that will change, you know, we've obviously got real challenges for those of us who can't see the 3D environments, you know, through using goggles or you know, a virtual reality headset or anything like that, because for us, of course, you know, a big part of our interaction with the world is tactile. You know, it's the things we can feel around us, to a certain extent what we hear as well, but then things like acoustics, you know if you're in a big space or a small space, and certainly the tactile and the acoustics are very difficult or at the moment even impossible to replicate, you know, within these sort of AR VR spaces. I'm, like I said earlier, reasonably optimistic. I think we'll find solutions. You know, I do remember when touch screens came out and everybody was like, oh, you're never going to be able to use that if you can't see it. And, you know, Apple came through and others followed suit. Right. You know, there's a lot of smart people out there thinking about this stuff. So, you know, I'm optimistic there will be solutions, but I suspect we've got a few challenges before we get to that point.
Do we need to be worried, or is it still so early that actually there's still plenty of time to sort this stuff out?
I think we really do need to be thinking about it now. I mean, there are certainly, you know, games and other kind of VR experiences that are already out there. You know, I'm a little bit more skeptical about the metaverse as this place we're all going to educate and socialize and you know, go to the office in, and you know, all that stuff that Meta itself would have you believe was on its way. You know, so yes, I do think we really we need to start thinking about what these solutions look like. And you know, over the years running up to this point, there has been a lot of research. Disney a few years ago did some research into using short, sharp puffs of air to simulate physical feedback. So, you know, you can create or simulate basically, you know, sort of a bump on your arm, for example, just by a hardish sort of puff of air being blown at you. And, you know, there is research going on. We've just got to start bringing it together now into, you know, consumer level platforms and services. And thinking about the interfaces, because it's all very well having a VR game that's got accessibility built in, but if you can't actually configure the headset and get to the point of getting to the game, then it's sort of a moot point. So there's lots of stuff happening, but yeah, we need to start bringing it together into something that we're actually going to be able to use.
Robin, where are the frontiers as far as you're concerned?
I would second everything Leonie's just said. I think that's a big one. But also, for me, I want to pick up on gaming, because we have very recently held our first accessible gaming symposium with the University of Abertay. And I think that's, and also the industry, and that's out of a recognition that we did some gaming research last year. We shared it at CSUN. And overwhelmingly, people wanted to participate in gaming. There's a huge thirst for accessible games. So we're at a very early stage, really, in working with studios and working with creators to try and create examples of, you know, the whole journey from start to finish, creating a game and making it accessible by design. So I want to see a lot of change in the gaming space. There's a huge amount of goodwill and momentum we've got now, and we want to ride that wave and basically deliver some tangible outputs, really, because everything that we're doing is about parity of access, and that absolutely extends to gaming. There's a huge opportunity there.
Yeah, and maybe more blind and partially sighted people working in those industries as well. Let's go to Mary, and then we'll take your question, Taz.
Yeah, so there's a number that come top of mind for me. One of them is appliances, and the fact that buying a washing machine and a dryer is now so much more challenging. And I think about, you know, it's great that we have smart appliances now that you can link up to your home assistive devices like Alexa, Google, whatever it is that you may have. But there's also the challenge of like setting it up out of the box. That's not something I can do independently. I would need sighted assistance for that. And I also think about our aging population. And, you know, if you recently lost your sight and you're in your 70s, it might be more challenging to then have to, you know, manage all of these different technologies that have to come together, that you can't just have a washing machine that you rotate a dial, have a bump dot, voila, it works. So those are, that to me is a big, big, big thing. Also kind of in the same vein, continuing to think about accessibility from a fitness perspective. And what would it really be like to be able to go into a gym and be able to use all of the machines without, you know, having to figure out the touch screen and all of those things that go into it? So those are kind of top of mind for me. I have a whole bunch of other things that I think about, but just from the practical perspective, could we get appliances? Could we get workout machines that we can just go and use at the gym? That would be great.
Yeah, I love the fitness aspect. That would, I can see that working for a lot of people. And I really value exercise and gym, walking, etc. So that sounds amazing to my ears. Robin, going back to your gaming, I used to, when I had much better vision, play sort of the Nintendo games in childhood. And now due to that vision disappearing, I'm much more of a voiceover screen reader user, and I don't have access to those types of games anymore. And what I would love to see actually is the game industry, obviously working in partnership with accessibility, but having like the handheld device that you can get, the Nintendo Switch or whatever, but having that accessible where you can just pull out a device and you can have that accessible straight, kind of, I don't know, one separate unit where it's portable, you can have all of your accessible games on there and you can just fire away with it, would just be absolutely incredible.
Absolutely. And I think that's exactly the kind of thing we want to try and get to. And it's by bringing the industry, you know, the kind of leading game design course at Abertay and blind and partially sighted people together. We think bringing those three things together will give us the momentum to be able to create some of those changes. But you're absolutely right. It should be something that's seamless and easy and, you know, as enjoyable and as exciting for us as it is for people who are fully sighted. That's where we need to be.
Looking ahead to this year, which technology announcements, conferences, developments are you really looking forward to? What's the one thing this year that's really piqued your interest and that you cannot wait to experience? Mary Fernandez.
I don't know that I have a straightforward answer to that. I know here in the US, the National Federation of the Blind conference, there's always something new and exciting, and you always get to see, they do a lot of the companies doing demos, particularly around tactile braille, come to do different studies with us and get feedback. So that's something I always look forward to. I've never been to CSUN. I really, really, really want to go in 2023. So that's a personal Mary ambition now that I'm working in tech. So for me, that's what's coming up.
Yeah, and of course, HumanWare and APH are going to be showing their new sort of multi-line tactile display this year. That's a biggie, I think.
Yes, and we got to see that and at the NFE this past summer, and it is super cool. They're both really cool. I'm really excited for the wider world to see it. So that's kind of why I love that convention, because you do get a sneak peek into what's coming up and be able to give feedback. And I think that's amazing.
It seems like we might this year finally be moving beyond sort of prototype into actual multi-line braille products. You know, Orbit are doing some stuff around this area. We know Bristol Braille Technology and now HumanWare and APH and Dot and many others, you know, and they've all shown sort of prototypes, but, you know, actually bringing multiple products to market, it feels like this could be that year. Robin Spinks, I know you are planning a number of conferences this year.
Absolutely. I mean, looking forward to lots of things. I'm going to call out two things in particular. So one would be There's an increasing focus on haptics in the smartphone industry. I think we've seen a number of smartphone manufacturers up their game on haptics. I'm super excited by that. I'm really a big fan of haptics. So this is really those subtle little vibrations and pulses that you get from the screen on your device as you do things, whether that's move through a calendar wheel or a clicker wheel or move through a menu. I reckon haptics have got a potentially really powerful and almost transformational role to play in accessing mobile technology. And I just, there's a lot more focus on it now. A lot more people are commenting on it. Reviewers are more interested. There's some great stuff happening in terms of the actual haptic motors that are going into devices. And my other area is voice control. So I love stuff that's voice controlled, but I just want to see more intelligent and more intuitive voice control across the piece, really, on all sorts of devices.
Okay, and I mentioned those conferences, so maybe an opportunity to experience some of those things at the conferences that you're involving delivering this year.
That's right. So we have a major technology conference which will be running on 14 and 15 June in Glasgow at the Glasgow Science Centre. It's a fantastic venue and we welcome guests from all around the world. So we'd love it if people would come and join us at that. We'll be bringing together the tech industry, but also designers and sustainability professionals. You know, accessibility is becoming a much bigger part of the sustainability agenda for lots of organisations. We're recognising that in this event and we're going to be showcasing lots of innovations in those areas. So stay tuned for further details coming up.
Excellent. Leonie, how about you? What are you looking forward to?
So the conference I'm most looking forward to is Accessibility Toronto in the autumn, A11YTO, to use its short version. It's got all the great stuff that CSUN used to have around networking, great vibe for the accessibility community without being anywhere near as expensive or, you know, as kind of, you know, commercially minded. It's a proper old school get together with old friends, make new friends and hear stuff. And it's a fab conference because it focuses partly on the web, partly it has a day IRL in real life, but also a gaming stream as well. So it's a really good combination of stuff and some great, great presenters always. As far as the technology goes, the thing I'm hoping will happen this year, and I've been on a mission for this for a few years now, is to get better voice design for experiences for people who listen to web content. So whether that's those of us who use a screen reader or people who use the reader capability in browsers, as Robin mentioned earlier, you know, sometimes it's just useful to listen to a web page rather than read it with your eyes if you're able to. But at the moment, we've got no real way of designing that experience in the same way that we design the visual experience. We choose our colors and, you know, the way the different text fonts look on the page, but we can't do that for speech output. There has been a solution for this in existence for nearly two decades now, but it's never really been supported. And I'm hoping this year we'll actually get some traction so that we can just very gently, you know, elevate the richness of the experience for those of us who listen to stuff. Because I don't know about you, but hearing everything in exactly the same flat, dull screen reader voice kind of just loses a little bit of something in the telling, you know. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, reading a text description of some, you know, ridiculously cute and fluffy thing up a tree, or you know, the latest, you know, climate crisis, you know, terrible stories in the news. It all sounds the same, and I'd like to see that start to change this year.
That's exciting. Do you think, given your comments about social media and the conference that you're looking forward to, that there's a sort of a theme emerging there about, you know, the community and the grassroots kind of taking back control sort of from, you know, big business?
I hope there is. Yes. You know, I think it, certainly, you know, in conferences specifically, you know, I'm afraid the likes of CSUN have, you know, kind of ruled the roost for a great many years, but they are expensive. They don't particularly care for the people who give talks there. You know, most smaller conferences, more community-minded conferences will pay their speakers, and quite rightly so, because it takes time and effort to put together a talk. You know, I think CSUN will give you $100 off a multi-hundred-dollar ticket, and you still got to get yourself to California and, you know, stay either in or in the vicinity of a very expensive, you know, resort hotel. And that, to my way of thinking, is not what this community is all about. It's not what conferences should be about, which is why, yeah, my favorite conferences now are the slightly smaller ones where you're maybe looking at, you know, 300 to 600 people instead of 4,000 or 5,000. But you really feel like you're amongst something exciting and vibrant. And yes, the social media switch to Masto definitely has that sense of taking something back and kind of reclaiming, yeah, some of that old school excitement and energy that I remember from the very early days of the web. And that's a nice feeling, I think.
It's a serious point, but I also love that you're telling it how it is, Leonie Watson. Thank you so much for your refreshing candor. We very much welcome that here. Righto then, not long left. I think before we kind of close, I just wanted you to sort of share any final thoughts. Is there something that you'd sort of like to share, or, you know, sort of shine a light on that we've perhaps not touched on, Robin?
Absolutely. And I think it links very nicely to what Mary shared earlier on. And it's about, you know, separating yourself from your tech. So get your smartphone out of your bedroom at night. Make your bedroom be your bedroom. It's a sacred space. And look after your mental health. You know, invest in your mental health. You might even use your tech to do that, to do like a meditation, self-guided meditation or relaxation app. But, you know, let's all think about investing in our own mental health, because it's an important thing for all of us. And actually, the more you do it, the more you'll benefit from it.
Yeah, totally echo that. And that's actually what we recommend in the Department of Psychology as well. I work in healthcare, and separating, you know, really looking after your mental health and separating technology as well when it needs to be, i.e. at bedtime, is absolutely the right way to go.
Mary?
I 100% agree with Robin. That's something that I've been working on my personal life, and it really does impact your mental health. And I think that, going back to the social media piece, like really, and I know we talk about this a lot, but really understanding that, you know, people are curating the best moments of their life. So not comparing yourself and being very healthy around that, I think, is really important. From a bigger perspective, I would love to see, I'm noticing a trend, you know, we already touched on Twitter dismissing their whole accessibility team. And I work in diversity, equity, and inclusion, and a lot of the tech cuts that you're seeing are across those departments. And from a personal technology use, I've been seeing more bugs getting through. Like the new iOS, it's terrible with some of the accessibility bugs that have gotten through. So I think just a bigger focus and refocusing on accessibility bugs are just as impactful to users as other bugs. So like, it continuing to remind the industry that like this is not really okay, it's not acceptable, because I'm paying the same price as a consumer as anybody else, and so my experience should not be diminished and taken more lightly than others. And also to Leonie's point around community and what it means and taking back, I would love to have a whole segment on that, because I'm like, I have so many things to say and I love it. I love that she brought it up. So just as a follow up, would love to have that show.
Indeed. Yeah, I hope we can do that. Leonie, any final thoughts from you? Anything you'd like to shine a light on?
Yes, the importance of protecting yourself, particularly online. Both in terms of, you know, the huge quantities of false information, negative information that's out there at the moment, but also in terms of your personal data, you know, remembering that when we choose to use services that are available to us for free, they're not really free. It just means that our information, we're the product. And I think a greater awareness of that's incredibly important. The other thing I would say is to flip it around, and it's simply just be nice to each other, particularly on social media. It's really easy to start screaming into the void, to forget that there are people like us on the receiving end of whoever we're moaning or complaining or yelling at, and taking a moment just to think, actually, how would I feel if I were to receive a message like the one I'm just about to post? Is 2 or 3 seconds worth doing, because it may well make the difference to someone. So if we can all be a little nicer to each other, I think that would be lovely.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, everybody. Callum Stoneman, did you have any questions for our panel?
Not so much questions, but I just couldn't agree more with everything that's been said there, particularly on the mental health side of things. And I guess just a final thought from me on that is have a look in your device's settings if you need to, because on iOS there's screen time. I imagine there's a similar thing on Android. And on there you can say how long you want to spend on your phone and how long you want to spend on certain apps or certain categories of apps. So you can, you know, say, okay, I want to spend no more than 15 minutes a day on social media, for example. And, you know, those settings are aimed primarily at kids. You know, they're aimed at parents restricting their kids' screen time. But if it helps you, you know, and if it's useful to you to use that to take a step back from it, then you know, use it. Those settings are free and just available in your device's operating system. So take advantage of those if you need to as well.
Well, thanks again, everybody. Should anyone wish to connect with you or learn more about your work, what's the best way to do that, Leonie?
If you head to tink.uk, that's my personal website, you'll find my contact information there on platforms like Mastodon, LinkedIn, my email address and such.
Brilliant. Mary?
Best way to find me is LinkedIn. So if you just do look for Mary Fernandez and Cisco, you will find me.
And Robin, I think we know where to find you.
You can find out all about the work of RNIB on the RNIB website, rnib.org.uk, but also on LinkedIn.
The joke there, of course, is wherever you think Robin is, he probably isn't.
He might be traveling to somewhere else.
Travels more than most. You have no idea about the anxiety I had about Robin calling into this show from a train. So thank you for being in one place for the best part of an hour, Robin. We really appreciate that very much indeed. Leonie Watson.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. Leonie Watson, Mary Fernandez, Robin Spinks, our accessibility panel for 2023. Thank you so much. And our co-host, Tazneem Arshad and Callum Stoneman. Always a pleasure. Thank you to you.
Yes, thank you. It's been a pleasure. And back to normal next week, I suppose, for us.
Yeah, thank you all. It's been an absolute pleasure, as Dave said, and really appreciate all of your time.
Thank you.
It's been fun. Thank you.
Indeed, indeed. And that's it from Tech Talk this time. If you'd like to get in contact with the programme, it's the usual email address. We'd love your thoughts about any of that. It's an email or a voice note to techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. From myself, Dave Williams, producer Harold Davies, and the rest of the Tech Talk team, until next time, bye for now.